What's going on, everybody? Spencer here, coming at you with another video. Now, this is going to be another podcast episode, and I'm very excited about it. In this episode, I speak with the founder of Infinite One, who has just gone full-time into crypto with this side project, now becoming their full-time project. Whether you agree with this project or not, just like always, there are nuggets of wisdom in every single one of these conversations that not only have helped me along with my crypto journey, but hopefully they help you out as well. Before we jump into that, remember, just like always, none of this is financial, legal, or any other type of advice. What you do with your time and money is 100% on you. And we are doing lots of giveaways. If you stick around to the end of the video, end of this podcast, you're going to learn how you can actually help along in making these giveaways happen and how you can end up winning them. And let's jump into it. So what's going on, everybody? Spencer here again, coming at you with another video. So in this video, I'm excited. We have the founder of Infinite One with us, Steve Goodman. He's going to tell us a little bit about that project, everything that he's got going over there. It's pretty exciting stuff, along with his background and how he got started in crypto. So Steve, if you can kind of give us a breakdown on what Infinite One is exactly. I mean, obviously I've done a little bit of research on y'all's website and stuff like that, but if you could help us, you know, kind of explain almost in general terms, and then we'll get into more specifics afterwards, if you want to break that down for us.
Sure. So Infinite One, we are an airdrop project where we airdrop other projects to our holders. Now, that in itself has a bad stigma in this industry. I'm trying to bring a good stigma to it. And I'm trying to make it where we are dealing with only legit projects instead of dealing with every project.
Okay.
So my motto is I'm the one token that you truly need to hold.
Okay.
And the reason I say this is because this is your key to introduce you. I'm not trying to make you rich off of my airdrops. I'm trying to introduce you to quality projects. And you hold Infinite One. We meet with these projects. I do video chats with them. I talk to them. We look over their contract. We test them, do a buy and a sell and test them out, make sure that they're a legit project. And if they pass everything, then we will partner with them. And they have to provide the tokens to me. We do not go out and buy them. And then we airdrop those tokens to our holders. Now, the nice thing about this for my holders is I charge a fee to the project for doing this. So they have to pass my vetting. They have to provide me their tokens and they have to pay me to do this. So those are three things right there that shows that they're a legit project, that they want holders, that they're trying to grow their project and be here for the long term. So me getting paid for doing the airdrops, I don't have to rely on the token price or sell any of the tokens to make my money. I make it my profit off of their drops.
Okay.
So I have to put on my salesman's hat and go to work every day and find projects to sell the fact that airdropping with us is a good thing. The other thing that we do that is unique is we continue to work with the projects long after the airdrop is done. Farmageddon was our very, very first airdrop, and we dropped them the 1st of September. You join almost any one of my video chats or voice chats in my Telegram group, and somebody from Farmageddon is probably in there talking. We continue to work with them. We continue to run promotions with them, you know, and we do that with all of our partners if they're willing. So we will work with them for you for as long as you're in business. And that helps make it stronger, better, and gives my holders, long-term projects, which is, like I say, we're offering you the keys to the introduction to them. What you do with it from there is do your own research. Never spend more than you can afford to lose.
Well, one thing I want to note that I'm not so sure you really pointed on I'm curious a little bit more details about the vetting process. I mean, you said you look over them, you test buy them, and stuff like that. I will point out for anyone who's not listening, Steve's being a little bit humble, I guess, right here, because we got introduced by through Soakmont. And I know if you guys watch my interview with them, those guys are not doxed yet, right? So one thing that we can be sure, like, especially if they're listed on Infinite One, you know, not that I'm promoting Infinite One or anything, ever, always do your own research, guys. None of this is financial, legal, or any other type of advice. But if they are listed with you, right, Steve, that even if the team is not doxed, you force them, you're like, hey, we have to do a face call, right? So there's that kind of stuff as well, right?
Right. So if they're not 100% doxed, then I do require a video chat with them. Okay. If they refuse the video chat, then I refuse to do business with them.
Yeah. I mean, I like that. That is one thing that I actually really liked about Soakmont and with you guys was that in particular, especially because you are fully doxed. I mean, obviously you're here on camera. You're not wearing any like costume or anything like that.
No, I mean, like,
okay. Can you give us any more details about kind of the vetting process? I mean, as far as like projects that get, like, do you make them get an audit or anything like that? Anything special in the vetting process?
No, because I mean, I can name you 10 projects right now that have audited and they still either rugged or had problems with their contract, or all an audit does is go look through and see, did you write the code properly? It doesn't tell you how it functions. It doesn't tell you anything that's useful.
Yeah.
So really, and it's nice to have an audit just to make sure that nothing nefarious is in there that's obvious.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I don't require that. What I do is there's a few things that are key that I don't want to say that I know to look for. Because, and the reason I don't want to say it is if I start telling people what I know to look for, then they'll start figuring out a way around it.
Makes sense to me. That makes sense.
So a few key things from some good Solidity devs that have taught me how to look for obvious scams, built-in time-delayed honeypots, stuff like that. So I can look for that stuff without, you know, going being a Solidity dev myself. Really, 90% of it is that video chat. You know, it's just looking them in the eye when I'm talking to them and seeing how they react to my questions and stuff like that. You know, it's a lot of it's a gut feeling, but you know, as a investor, if I told a dev that they had to do a video chat with me or I went invest in their project, they'd be like, go away.
Yeah.
You know, they don't care about one investor.
Yeah.
But as another dev, whenever I say, hey, I want to do a video chat with you, or I won't introduce you to my 1,000 holders, then they're more willing to do a video chat with me. So I get to be the liaison for my holders in that at retrospect, because they don't get that privilege.
That makes complete sense to me. And it also makes sense, like, you know, that you are kind of promoting their project and stuff like that too, right? So if things go sideways, it also comes back on you as well.
Absolutely. You know?
So I definitely understand that for sure. I understand that for sure. But all right, Steve. So tell me about who are you? How did you first get introduced into cryptocurrency, right? Because obviously, as much as anyone wants to say that they are an expert in cryptocurrency, I don't know anyone who has basically been in this for like the long haul, if you will. Everyone is kind of a newbie, even people that we consider experts. So yep. what was your first introduction into kind of the crypto world, right?
Well, so my story sounds like probably, you know, 75% of everybody. I started with dabbling in Dogecoin and Bitcoin, you know, a little bit here and there, just seeing what's going on. Then SafeMoon came along and everybody was jumping on the SafeMoon bandwagon. So I got into SafeMoon and that was my introduction into DeFi.
Okay.
really hadn't considered starting my own project or anything like that. But I actually got scammed and had about $10,000 stolen from me and in SafeMoon. And it actually pissed me off. And whenever it did that, it made me want to dive in to what causes scams, what makes, you know, what is all this stuff, and learn everything I could about it. And the more I learned, the more I decided, well, I want to create my own project to where I can figure out a way to help other people and introduce quality projects to them. So an airdrop project was the only thing that made sense because it allowed me to just diversify and get a whole bunch of different projects together and create a safe network, not only for my holders, but for these projects too.
Yeah, I like that. So just to kind of go into that, so I've been starting or ending a lot of these interviews now. Obviously, this isn't the end of this conversation, but one thing, if we didn't get to it in the conversation, I like to ask, have you ever been scammed in crypto? And you're saying yes. So once again, this is probably going to be a recurring theme in most of my conversation interviews. Guys, if you're listening, anybody can get scammed. You're not above that. All of these guys that I've talking to, every single one of them so far has been scammed. I haven't met one that has said no to that question. So just reiterating that you need to be taking your privacy and your security and all of that stuff very seriously and doing your own research. But Steve, do you mind going into that story a little bit and kind of telling us how you got scammed, just so take that and kind of learn from that as a group, right? As we can get some brain, I just forgot what the word would be, but some group thinking, some group brain knowledge from that, so we can all learn from it and make sure that other people learn from, unfortunately, your mistake in this one.
Absolutely. So I got into SafeMoon super, super early, and I made a bunch of money off of it. And so I took that money, and I was being very careless with it, not really doing my own research, and just basically buying every project I came along with, just hoping to hit another one, just kind of like it. I figured it was like playing roulette, you know, put a number out there and hope it hits.
Oh man.
So I didn't really look at it as a win or a loss, but what happened was I wound up buying a token, and they used what was called token approvals. And they used the token approval to gain access to my wallet without the seed phrase. So whenever you buy or sell a token, that token, you authorize it. Every time you approve that first transaction, you authorize it to allow it to have an approval to access your wallet, to add a project to it and take a product out.
Yep.
Well, token approvals are pretty open because as we all know, your receive address is the same for every BSC token in your wallet. So token approvals are very generic and very open. So then all of a sudden they can access any BSC token in your wallet. So I didn't know about this, and this was a scam token, turned out to be a rug pull. And then they also turned around and drained a bunch of people's wallets.
Oh, wow. So just to get a little bit on that, did you purchase this from like one of their sites, or was this from like PancakeSwap or PooCoin or something like that?
It was a PancakeSwap purchase that I had found. I just stumbled across it. The name of the token was Burn Token, and it burned.
Oh man, that's crazy.
Now I've seen like five other projects with the same name, but they're not the same project, but that was the original one. It was called Burn Token. And they stole $10,000 worth of SafeMoon from me.
Okay. I mean, I'm going to have to look into that a little bit more because, you know, this is the first time I've heard something like that. I mean, I know that they can do approvals and stuff like that. That's why I always disconnect my MetaMask from different sites. But This is a little bit different than that. But man, that's, oh man.
Yeah, just Google token approvals and you'll see all kinds of stuff about
this. This is crazy. I mean, that's terrible, man. I'm sorry. But
Well, it taught me a valuable lesson, and I was able to recoup my money on SafeMoon because I was still fairly early on it. So, you know, it was found money that I'd got scammed out of. So really all it did was piss me off. It didn't really hurt me financially.
Yeah.
And if it hadn't made me mad, then I probably wouldn't be sitting here talking to you today.
Well, here we are, man. It seems sometimes our unfortunate things that happen to us are good things in disguise, if you will, right?
Absolutely.
They're motivators to us. So, you know, I love that. So, I mean, back to Infinite One a little bit, like, why did you decide to build this project on the Binance Smart Chain versus Ethereum or Tron or Algorand or these other like forks of Ethereum as well, like Avalanche, etc.? So why the Binance Smart Chain right out the gate, right?
Well, two reasons. The main reason is obviously the gas fees are affordable on BSC. I know on Avalanche and Polkadot, a lot of those, they're very affordable as well. But two, the volume of projects that are done on the BSC that are scams. It's 90-95% scams, 5-10% legit. Yeah. That gives me a lot of projects to sort through and vet and you know, work on. So if I'm dealing with the smaller network where the very few projects are actually launching on it, then I get less to sort out and go through.
I mean, that makes sense. There are a lot of scams in the Binance Smart Chain, unfortunately. And, you know, the fees are super low, and I think that kind of breeds a lot of that. I know, like, I cut a lot of my DeFi degen teeth on Tron, and a lot of the old scams that were happening on Tron are now reappearing again on the Binance Smart Chain.
Right.
So for me, it's kind of easy to point those out because I'm like, well, I already went through that on Tron, so I already know what exactly this is. So,
but yeah, I don't think I could afford to do an airdrop project on Ethereum fees.
Nah, yeah, I don't think you could.
Right.
So about how many partners have you how many partners have you gotten so far with how old it is?
25, and we are 3.5 months old.
Wow. 25 partners already at only 3.5 months? Uh-huh. So how many projects exactly have you turned down so far?
Oh, at least 10 a week. Wow. Sometimes more.
Wow. So 10 a week.
I had one. I'll just give you a quick story on that. I had one that I approached them because, you know, I approached most of the projects that I talked to, and we went over everything, and they said, absolutely, looks great. And I was like, okay, well, great. Let's set up the video chat. Oh, no, we don't do video chat. You're too small for us to do a video chat with. I'm like, okay, well, no video chat, no deal. And they're like, that's okay. We'll give you 3 times as many tokens to airdrop and pay you 3 times your BNB fee for you to go ahead and airdrop. I was like, dude, we are definitely done. And I actually blocked them so they would just stop bugging me. But I watched their project, and a week later, they rugged for 700 BNB.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
So, yeah, I don't need extra money. I don't want that. Them, you know, they can try and bribe me, but that makes me want to turn them down even more.
Yeah, I would probably. They weren't even being like, hey, we can, I don't know, like do a voice chat or something. No, they went straight for paying you a lot more.
That's, yep.
Wow.
And that's an obvious sign of a scam right there. I mean, I don't know a business owner out there, a legit business owner that is going to offer you more money to make you do something. They're going to be trying to get you to do it for less.
Yeah. That's crazy. Oh, man. All right. So one thing that I saw on your website that I was just kind of curious about this. I noticed it was one of your partners, obviously this is one of your partners, but I'm going to ask you if you can elaborate more because you put it on your website. was the flypaper. It says like stamp of approval by flypaper DeFi. So I was just curious what is that and why do you why do you want their stamp of approval, if that makes sense?
You were asking about audits earlier.
Yeah.
Flypaper does this vetting process. And they are a bunch of Solidity guys that know BSC scan inside and out and stuff like this. They go through your project. Not only what your Solidity contract does, but they look at your transaction history and make sure you're not doing nefarious things like transferring stuff back and forth between wallets just to get more transactions. They want to know who has all the top wallets, who's holding these wallets, who's this person, who'd you talk to about this when this guy wrote your contract, or are you involved with any of his other projects? Then they wanted my social media stuff. They dug through my social media, my personal background, and they wrote a 9-page report about my project and published it to their group.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, this is the deepest dive I've ever had anybody go through. And I actually say it was a 9-page negative report about my project because they pointed out everything that was wrong with my project. And I still got the stamp of approval even with that.
Yeah.
So I loved it. I thought it was one of the best. It's better than any audit out there. So, yeah, they're just a great project that vets people. They are struggling because, you know, it's hard to find legit projects that are willing to put themselves through that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it would appear I was talking to a project the other day. They were kind of breaking down the price points for how much some of these audits cost. And it was kind of crazy. I think it was like somewhere like 10 to 15 grand for like a tech rate audit. And don't quote me on these prices, anybody. This is just, and it was like almost like 20 plus grand for a Certech audit. And for a new project, that is like, you can start a whole project for like less than five if you know how to do everything correct. And so just to pay that just for an audit, which, as you have rightfully kind of already pointed out, it's basically just a really expensive rubber stamp, basically, right? So at least those kind of audits are basically, because if your code is all open source, or if your code is public anyways, which most projects, I don't know a project where it's not public, then if you're trying to hide stuff, yeah, but it is kind of interesting. So
yeah, and most projects actually get in that wind up being able to afford an audit, they get it months after they've already have a proven track record of being successful.
Yep.
So then to me, it's even a bigger waste of money, to be honest. I think audits are the biggest scam in the smart chain industry.
Yeah.
So most of these guys that whenever they do an audit for you, what Flypaper did for me was way more intrusive and way more on the level of where a holder would feel better about the project.
Yeah. I mean, it was basically they just like fully doxed you, basically.
Yeah. They doxed me. They doxed my contract. They doxed all the top wallets.
Wow.
I mean, everything.
Wow. I'm going to have to dig more into that because now that I know more about that, because I was like, what is this? Like,
yeah, you go to their website, look at approved projects, and then go to me and click on it, and you can still read that 9-page report.
Wow. I mean, that makes me want to do that. Because every time someone asks me, like, is this a safe project or is this a safe project, whatever, my answer is always, I don't know. Even to like ones that I think that I would probably consider like blue chip projects.
Right.
Right. And I go, listen, like, you have all of these other projects that kind of vet stuff for you, and they wouldn't partner with those people. So I'm probably going to be pointing out Infinite One as one that vets projects for me, so I don't have to tell people. Like a bunch of my like friends and family, like they get the crypto.com app and I'm like, listen, if it's on there, they've probably at least done a little bit of research, but you should still do something. But I was like, just start from there. Start from whatever is listed on that app. Right.
Absolutely.
So it's just kind of interesting, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And by the time they get to crypto.com again, they already have a successful track record, you know, they don't take new projects on over there.
No, they do not. What's going on, Steve? You just moving outside?
Yeah, just stepping outside for a second.
You got to get that fresh air, man. It's all good.
Yeah, fresh air.
Oh, yeah, getting that. Yeah, the opposite of fresh air.
But so what I tell my holders is I'm going to try and bring them 90% legit, 10% scam. Nobody bets 1,000 in this industry. Yeah. And anybody who says they do is lying.
Yep.
They just don't want to admit that they've been scammed or that it's possible. So, you know, I know I'm going to have failed projects and I know eventually I'm going to absolutely drop a scam to my holders. The odds are against me.
Yeah.
And, but I do tell my holders this. I don't keep it a secret. So that way, when it happens, they can't be too mad.
Yeah.
Because it's been public knowledge from day one that it's going to happen. But I did get really lucky with my first three projects. I had them lined up before I ever launched.
Oh, wow.
And they were all great projects, still going. And their devs actually helped me a lot in my journey of becoming a new dev myself.
That's really cool. Can you break down the tokenomics for Infinite One for us? Because one thing I didn't realize this until like yesterday, that you were a reflection token, or am I wrong on that? Okay. Yeah. So can you break down the tokenomics for us on that one? Cause I just found that interesting. So
yeah, we have a 12% tax, 4% goes to liquidity, 4% back to the holders, and 4% to marketing. Out of that 4% back to marketing, I do pull out a quarter of a percent, and it's sent to a burn wallet for future burns.
Awesome. I love that. All right. So before we were having our technical difficulties, Steve was breaking down the tokenomics for us of Infinite One. And so, Steve, about how many holders do you currently have of the Infinite One token?
We're at 992 right now, about to break 1,000. And as soon as we break 1,000, we're going to burn a bunch of tokens.
Wow, that's exciting, especially for me, because I purchased about $130 yesterday. So nice. We'll see. We'll see. Just so everyone knows, Steve didn't pay me for this. So, you know, right now I'm not charging for these conversations or interviews. We'll see about in the future, but for now it's just not happening. So I'm excited. I'm excited about this project. I actually really like the concept of an airdrop token. And you mentioned that there's kind of a bad stigma around airdrop tokens like this. And this is kind of the first time that I've heard that. I do understand that you can get airdrop like scam tokens and stuff like that. But if you're being airdropped it, then I don't think that it's that big of a deal. You just block the token and you move on with your life. But why do you think that kind of an airdrop project does have a bad stigma, I guess, in the industry?
Well, two reasons. One, like you said, a lot of tokens get airdropped into your wallet, and those are scam tokens. So everybody, by de facto, automatically associates airdrop with scam.
Yeah, but
then the projects out there that are doing airdrop, and there's a couple that are out there, and one that's doing really well and fairly successful, but they'll airdrop any token that pays them. They don't care if it's a scam or not. They're in for the volume of how many projects can they airdrop to you. They're not in it for the vetting, for the promotions, for helping that project grow. They boost that they're just going to get you holders and that's it.
Okay.
So, you know, that's where I'm trying to do a different type of airdrop project where I'm picky. I don't partner with just anybody. I'm trying to bring quality versus quantity to my holders.
No, and that definitely attracts me, and I like that. And I guess to your point as well, right? Back to how you got scammed. So, you know, I guess I need to rethink my mindset with the token approvals, right? So let's say you do get airdropped a token that maybe that's how they're scamming people, is that they airdrop it and then they do a token approval. So that would be interesting. I mean, as far as like dusting attacks and stuff like that, that's very different. And if it's in your wallet, just so everyone knows, if the token's in your wallet, they can't just take everything out just for having it in there, right? So the way Steve is saying he got scammed, and obviously other people as well, is that he hit approve on that contract. So if you see a random token in your wallet, don't worry about that. It's if you do anything with it personally, that's when you really have to be worried.
Yeah, they cannot do anything to you until you do something with them.
Yeah. Just so everyone knows, because I know on my Telegram and my Discord, I get asked that question a lot, and people think that they can just take money for sending it. And I'm like, no, that's not how it works. You're okay. Just ignore it. That's a really all. And unfortunately, that's all you can do, unfortunately, but it's okay. But there are, you know, as Steve is pointing out, there are other ways to get scammed. So, you know, I think we're kind of closing it out, but Steve, what are kind of your long-term plans to get more holders of Infinite One and that kind of stuff?
I mean, we got the obvious, you know, one of my ways I get holders is every time we partner with a new project, people see what we're doing for that project and I get holders from that.
Mm-hmm.
So that does, that's been our main source of growth because we've been pure organic. We haven't done any massive advertising. We haven't done any big campaigns, but I am starting now that we got, you know, this number of partners, I'm going to start doing more Twitter spaces, more posting group AMAs, stuff like that, trying to get the projects together. Right now we're doing a lottery of giving away $1,000 worth of Infinite One to between two people, so 500 each. And we got seven partners who joined in it, and you get a ticket for each one of the partners. You go buy a little bit of their tokens.
Wow.
So we're helping promote them. They're helping promote us. We get to post it in all their Telegrams. We get a lot of cross, posting, cross communications, going on. So that helps. I do have plans to create a second token, in the very near future. It will be tied to Infinite One, and it's going to be an accelerator of some sort. I haven't worked out all the details yet, but what it will do is whenever I partner with a project, if they want the top holders, this token will get them better access to them.
Okay. That's pretty cool. I mean, you know, and then kind of with that, do you have any plans of doing anything cross-chain? Like moving into another blockchain, because obviously, you know, this is just my opinion. I think right now we're seeing kind of a hype phase around the Binance Smart Chain, and we've kind of been in a hype phase around the Binance Smart Chain for a while. That doesn't mean that it's going to go away anytime soon. So please do not misconstrue anything that I'm saying, but are you looking to kind of take advantage if one of these other blockchains starts being hyped up, or just for more long-term growth, right? Moving over to another chain.
Yeah. So no, I'm going to stay on the Binance as far as my project goes.
Okay.
But what I am going to start looking at is because the airdrop is just a contract written on the smart chain.
Yeah.
I don't use a wallet to do the airdrop. I actually use a contract to do it. So I'm going to get a contract for Ethereum. I'm going to get a contract for Avalanche. I'm going to get a contract for each one of these projects. Then I can start reaching out to those projects and offering to airdrop them to my holders and help them gain more holders as well.
Oh,
so
cool.
We will be able to cross chain do airdrops is what we will be able to do.
Okay. So, So are you going to mostly be sticking with kind of forks of Ethereum so the address is the same? Just assuming, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's the easiest way right now because, you know, we all know, like, if you have 1,000 holders, only 200 of them are probably active in your Telegram or communication wise. So if I say, everybody send me your Stellar account, you know, I'll probably get maybe 50 people that send it.
Yeah, you won't get very many people. So
to airdrop everybody a Stellar would be next to impossible. Because Stellar does use a completely different address and everything.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that makes complete sense there. But I think we're gonna come up on the long end of this conversation. Just we had some stuff going on, and I've definitely enjoyed this conversation. I think just like always, we've had nuggets of wisdom. Whether you're interested in Infinite One or not. Just like always, I've said in this last chat, this is like going to school. There's always nuggets of wisdom in every single conversation. And I think that this definitely had nuggets of wisdom in it. Well, Steve, is there anything else you kind of want to close us out with? Like anything about Infinite One or yourself that hasn't been kind of said yet that you just want to let people know? I mean, about your project, you, whatever it is.
So just one thing you were asking about the future of the project. I did quit my job and I am in crypto now.
That's awesome.
Yep. And I will be forming an LLC for Infinite One as of around January 1st. It didn't make any sense to do it for the last couple of weeks of December.
That's awesome.
So we will become a legit company, LLC, you know, so it just gives us more validity and more stability.
Okay. Well, how many people are on the Infinite One team right now, just out of curiosity?
Two.
Two? Wow. Well, you're going full time, so that's enough.
Me and E-Ray.
I like it. Hit us with your Twitter, your website. How can people find you online? Let us know that information real quick.
Website is infinite1.io.
Okay.
Twitter is infinite. Oh, I can't even remember. It's infinite1t, and it's the number one because the infinite one was already taken.
Okay.
And so we had to use the number one in it.
Awesome. Just so everyone knows, I'm going to be putting these links down below in the description on YouTube. If you're listening on one of the podcast platforms, maybe I'll get that in the description. Not sure how that works just yet, but you know, I'm definitely going to be talking to Steve after this video, after this recording ends, just to get all that information and stuff like that. But thanks again, Steve, for coming on. Thank you, everyone who has made it this far in listening and recording. Sorry for the technical difficulties, you know, the growing pains. This is, I believe this is going to be episode 7 or 8. I'm going to have to check that out. So I am excited that we are still making these videos and they are on podcasts now. So Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and a few other places as well, just for this long form content. So thank you guys, and I'll see you in the next one. Peace. All right, everybody. I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. I definitely learned a lot more about this project, and I learned a lot more around Steve's mindset on why he's doing the things that he's doing. I hope that this was helpful for you. But before, remember, we are giving away some NFTs on the Tron blockchain. We're giving away a Cool Cat NFT on the Tron blockchain. Once my YouTube channel hits 3,000 followers, I'm going to be giving away a second Cool Cat NFT on the Tron blockchain. Once my Odyssey channel reaches 1,000 followers, and we are on track to hit both of those, hopefully sometime soon. And once I hit 10,000 followers on Twitter, I'm going to be giving away a Pyromaniacs NFT, which is currently the number one creator on air NFTs. Pretty awesome. Check everything out down below. There's going to be descriptions. And remember, we are now on podcasts. So if you're on Spotify, if you're on Apple Podcasts, just type in Daily Mint, Mint with a Y, and we should show up. Daily Mint, the podcast. Once again, my name is Spencer, and I'll see you guys in the next one. Peace.